The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaben, and this is your tournament recap episode for the Waste Management Phoenix Open. And joining me to break it all down for now, just the two of us, it's Greg Ducharme. What up, Greg?
Just the two of us, you and I. Do you catch your breath after that?
I was telling Jacob before we went hot, that was the most entertaining golf tournament on the PGA Tour that I can remember. You know, obviously you have major championships and stuff like that, but there was a moment with just a few holes to go. There were 10 golfers either in the lead or one shot back, and you had Brooks Koepka, Xander Schauffele, you had Jordan Spieth, you had guys trying to break. I mean, it was unbelievable.
And guys were making charges and runs, and there was a moment where, I mean, at first I'm thinking, okay, there's a couple guys who five shots back could probably has a chance. So the guys that are 13 under or better probably have a chance, but really, once you get it, Koepka is a guy you got to watch out for, but there's really, I mean, there's big stars here, right? You figure Schauffele and Spieth are kind of in control. It's hard to imagine that both of them are going to shoot what, even one. I mean, it's hard to imagine they're not going to make some sort of a run. I thought you had to get to at least 22 under to have a chance. So even like Koepka would have to shoot, what is it? 9 under? He'd have to shoot 9 under to reach that. So I thought that it'd be a surprise round if it was a 13 under that won.
Well, that's the other thing. So often on the PGA Tour, when we do get an exciting finish, it is a birdie and eagle fest. The guys were crumbling. They were just falling apart all over TPC Scottsdale. Xander Schauffele can't keep his ball out of the water. Jordan Spieth is screaming for his ball to sit down. My man, James Hahn, who would have made me a ton of money if he can play his last 8 holes at even par, he makes 4 bogeys in his last 8. I mean, this thing was, it really did have everything, I have to admit.
Yeah, and this is the beauty of this setup, right? The golf course, the TPC golf courses are meant for these PGA Tour events, right? That's why they have that logo. That's why there are so many courses that are here, because they set up for finishes like this. You think about what happened yesterday, and then with everybody making birdies like crazy coming down the stretch. I mean, that leads you to believe if you saw a repeat on Sunday, which you saw on Saturday, somebody was going to reach 30 under. I mean, there was going to be a 59 today. And it proved to be much more difficult. It played much more difficult than that, because you can set these golf courses up for the train wreck. And that's what you get, because there's water and there's reachable par fives and there's temptation and there's no wind. So you feel like you can go at every single flag, but there really is danger lurking. So it was very exciting, very entertaining. And the other factor to that, Rick, is there the desert is so much more unpredictable than trees are rough, because you can hit it one day, one moment, you can hit it and be completely fine and you have no problem at all. And you're watching thinking this is, and there's no penalty for hitting it in the desert until you're on 14 being Xander Schauffele and it's in cactuses, right? And you got to take 2 clubs and get it out. I mean, you can get into some real sticky circumstances missing those fairways.
The old prickly pear drop you got to take out there is not pretty.
There were a couple scary shots.
Yeah, sure were. We're going to try to keep this a little bit shorter. Obviously, the Super Bowl about to kick off here in, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes or so. So we're going to try to keep this tight, but there's so much to talk about. It's Brooks Koepka, Greg, who shoots a 65 on Sunday, wins this golf tournament at 19 under par. There's a lot of storylines here. We're going to talk about those, but let's talk about his play on Sunday. He finishes his final 6 holes at 5 under par, including a chip in on 17 for eagle. That was probably like, I'd have to go layer all the shots on there. I can't imagine even getting up and down from where he was at was kind of hairy. He had a really awkward angle at it. Chips it in, that propels him to victory.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because I was watching the broadcast and I said it'll be a little bit of an awkward angle, but I thought he was short enough where he had enough green to work with. If he had gotten closer to hole high or directly hole high, the shot completely changes. But because he hit 3 wood off the tee and because he overcut it and it lands soft and he doesn't get anywhere near hole high, all of a sudden he's got much more green to work with than it looks like. So just because it's a right miss and a right hole location, the thought is, well, there's no angle, but he's not too far to the right so he's kind of going along the green still on his angle, which really benefited him. And in my opinion, allowed him to make that shot, because he just had more green to work with than you would expect with a right miss there. But that was because of the club selection and the shot shape that he hit. If he lands that on the green, that ball it might get through, because that would mean it's cutting less. So it's a faster shot. And it's landing on a much firmer surface than over there in the fairway.
I'm looking at the shot link, and I see about a dozen balls kind of down in that same range. So Koepka and Brian Stewart actually both chipped it in from a similar spot. And then between that, the other 10 or so, it's like 5 birdies, 5 pars. So it's not everybody was able to get up and down from the same spot, which is obviously of note. And then when you ratchet up the pressure on Sunday afternoon, it's even more impressive. So now Brooks Koepka bookends his PGA Tour career, 8 victories. First one at this event here, Waste Management, in 2015. His most recent right here at the Waste Management in 2021. And Greg, he now finally has as many regular PGA Tour victories as he does major championships.
Yeah, it's almost disappointing. I mean, I'm a fan of Brooks, but it's that narrative was so wild to me, where he just was he just won majors. It was unheard of. So it's great for Brooks. And to me, it proves one key point, and it's something to watch for in the major championships for the rest of this year. 2020 and a portion of 2019, the later portion of 2019, I would argue this almost proves the injury. The effect of the injury. Now, Brooks, with his words, makes you doubt that. He brings it into question. He says the injury's fine. And like a year ago, he was saying the injury's fine, and it wasn't. And one day it's fine, and one day it's a lot worse than I let on. So you didn't know what to believe with him. But I think now we're starting to see healthier Brooks, and we're starting to see a Brooks with he left his coach. Right. So there's that element as well, probably working with Pete Cowan, although I haven't heard anything confirming that. And I think you're seeing a healthy Brooks Koepka, and this is what he can do. This is what this guy does. So it's exciting to see. And I think he is going to be a factor heading into majors. And I think it writes off the poor performance in 2020 as, yeah, this is injury based. I think it kind of proves that point, which is good for him.
On a quick fantasy note, Brooks Koepka scored 146.5 DraftKings points. He was $8,800. Greg, it was actually our very own Will Brinson of the Pick Six Pod had Brooks Koepka in his lineup to cash to a tune of 80 G's. So if Will owes you any money, Greg, I think now's the time to hit him up for it.
Yeah. Wow. That's that's quite a week. Right. And he's got the big game coming up. I'll be interested to see how he does in his football action versus the golf action. Right.
Maybe we'll win the 80 grand in the football event. You know, I mean,
there's always hope. There's always hope.
The thing that I thought about Brooks on Sunday specifically was this was kind of vintage Brooks. And what I mean from that is he lost strokes putting. He lost a stroke putting. He was 55th in the field out of what, 60? How many guys got through? 67, 66. So he didn't really putt all that well, but he's second in strokes gained off the tee. He's first in strokes gained tee to green. So obviously he's going to be fourth in strokes gained approach. I mean, this was when I think Brooks is going best, this is what his stat profile looks like.
It's the length off the tee is a big advantage for him. That's quite obvious. And as I like to say, that's an advantage because it's an advantage every day. So every single day he shows up, he has that distance. And how much he gains off the tee depends kind of on, you know, where he puts the ball, his accuracy. Does he drive it in a penalty area or whatnot? But the off the tee stuff is nice, but it's not the key figure for me. The key figure with Brooks is the iron play. think back to 2019, the PGA Championship, when he was running away with it. It was through iron play. And when Brooks has the fade going, when you see Brooks hitting his irons at the flag, that sounds so obvious. But when Brooks gets bad, his iron shots don't cut. Driver too, but he hits shots that start left and stay left, maybe even hook. When he's going really good, you'll see the ball starting to peel to the right a little bit or hang in there straight. And he's done that. He's gotten rid of that pull shot, which I think is kind of the key to his success this week. Second for the week approaching the green.
The two guys, there's three guys in the final group, but the two that I want to talk about specifically are Jordan Spieth and Xander Schauffele. We are going to wait for the arrival of Kyle Porter here, and we're going to go to Xander Schauffele. This was, in my opinion, Greg, for all intents and purposes, Xander's to lose. I mean, he comes into the final round in a tie with Jordan Spieth. What were they, two shots clear, three shots clear of everybody else? And
yeah, 18 under.
Yeah, 18 under, right? Which is what he finishes at. He shoots an even par 71. It was a bit uncharacteristic. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. We'll get to that in a second. How did you assess what you saw from Xander Schauffele on Sunday in yet another runner-up finish?
So you look at his stat profile through three rounds, and you're seeing a guy dominating off the tee. He seems to have found more distance. He's hitting a lot of fairways around three. Hit 12 of 14 fairways. He's extremely accurate and extremely long off the tee. So if you look at his distance all drives versus his driving distance in two holes, which is the more common stat, I mean, it's 325 and 329. So he is consistently hitting the ball about 325 yards off the tee. And it's a huge weapon for him. And all of a sudden on Sunday, oh, and here's the other thing too, Rick, you may find this interesting. There was a lot of talk on the broadcast about him being patient through his rounds, through the tournament. Right. And on Sunday, it was like the patience was there, but he never caught the fire. Like it lasted what, three holes on Saturday, but I guess it was Friday's round where he plays 11 holes and one under before he goes on that run. And that's where they're talking about stay patient, stay patient, stay patient. Well, Sunday, it never has a chance to come to fruition because the driver lets him down. So the guy who's dominating off the tee, driving the golf ball, all of a sudden is 46 in the field on Sunday, strokes gained off the tee, because he hits it into the cactus on 14, hits it into the water on 17, right? Yep. And he's got a real chance. He's kind of the last guy standing on 17, and he hooks it in the water. So his strength let him down on Sunday, and I think that led to the collapse, maybe a strong word, but that led to the failure to win.
I think that's the part that, as ugly as it was, and it was not Xander's, and Mark and I talked about this on Saturday night, and I was beaming, and I was saying, oh my God, how good is this driver from this kid? He's unbelievable. And that's what let him down. But he was still standing on 17 tee, what, one back of Brooks. And he's got, this drivable par four. We've seen some birdies made on 18, and it still slips away. That's just like, he wasn't able to flip that switch. And it kind of leads me to this tweet that we have here, Greg. And I want to attribute this. It's to Shane Ryan, who says Xander is the generic Walgreens version of Finau. You don't want to admit it, but then one day Finau's out of stock. You buy Xander out of necessity, and you're forced to conclude that yes, it's basically the same. You are the Finau whisperer. You are the Finau apologist that we have. Is Xander Schauffele a discount version of Tony Finau?
Oh man. So he's got more wins already, right? He won a tour championship already. He won a Greenbrier, and he's won a World Golf Championships as well. Does he have three wins or four? I feel like he has four.
Well, are you counting
Century Tournament of Champions?
Right.
He also won the Shadow Leaderboard.
That's what I was wondering if he was asking about.
Okay, Shadow Leaderboard. Right. No, I'm not counting that as a win. I just don't want to go down that
path. I am.
Okay. Well, so does the official World Golf Ranking. But anyway, he's still accomplished more than Finau at this point. And to me, he lasts longer than Finau in that he has a chance on 17. Finau seems to eject a little bit earlier on Sundays. There aren't very many times where, except this tournament last year, where Finau has a real chance in the last couple of holes. He seems to kind of lose it around between 7 and 12. and all of a sudden he's done, and then he finishes all right. So I think Xander has a leg up on Finau. I think he's a little more accomplished, and this is a 1 year kind of a drought, if you will. This whole thing kind of started last year and this year. Before that, he was, I think, a pretty good winner, pretty good closer.
All right. Kyle Porter is here. KP, hello. How are you? Hi. Here's what I'm going to do. We've got the main course of Jordan Spieth coming. I'm going to get you involved here with a little bit of appetizer, Kyle. So Xander Schauffele, we've just been talking about yet another runner-up finish for the X-Man. How long until we start to strengthen these comparisons with Tony Finau, until we start to say, wow, this guy really just like doesn't win as much as he should, right? 2019 Century Tournament of Champions. That's the last victory. He's got, I believe, more runner-up finishes than anybody in that stretch since then. How much longer can we withstand Xander not closing a golf tournament?
Well, here's what I think about Xander. I think this conversation, we talk about this with Finau, it's so hard because it's like we're criticizing you for being the second best guy every week. It's like such a, right. It's such a, and like winning
it's
is
just mean.
It is
just mean.
And winning is overrated. I think the thing with Xander that, so two things. One, it feels like he's allergic to the lead. I mean, I've said that before, and I just like, all you have to do today is shoot 70 to get in a playoff. And I think with Finau, it's like, okay, he has a weakness, right? He's not a great putter, and especially on the weekends. Xander, and Greg has been really good on this. He doesn't have any weaknesses. And so when stuff does pop up, it feels more like choking is the wrong word. It feels more like he's fading late than like playing into his weakness, like it sometimes does with Finau. And right, so like
the pressure is the weakness.
Yeah. And with Finau, yeah, you're like, oh, he's just not really a great putter. And you know, that pops up on the weekends. And with Xander, it's like, there are no weaknesses. Why is he shooting a 71 on Sunday?
No way.
Does that make sense?
No, like, nothing. Yeah. It makes,
yeah, that's sense. That's weird to me. And I think it's, I don't love that all of his wins have been come from behind. Although I was looking at the Data Golf tool, like the pressure tool, where if you're in the top, whatever, on coming into Sunday, and his numbers, it's not like they're terrible. Like when he enters with a lead or in the top two or three, but he hadn't really closed. I don't think he's closed any of those out. Maybe I think he closed out the shadow leaderboard, which you may or may not count, but I think it works against him that he doesn't have holes and still hasn't won one of those.
See, well, the shadow leaderboard almost goes, if you do count that, it almost proves the point. Like he can do it when, because he doesn't, that's he's what not I was thinking about the shadow leaderboard, yeah, right?
It's a great call.
Yeah.
No, it's a great call.
It actually worsens the problem. Okay, well, his 54-hole co-leader, Jordan Spieth, shoots a 1-over-72 on Sunday to finish in a tie for fourth with Carlos Ortiz and Steve Stricker. Kyle Porter, this is the first opportunity we have had to speak since Thursday evening. There was a full lather for Jordan Spieth on Saturday, and rightfully so, as he went out and shot a 61. But he was never able to get anything going on Sunday. Immediately bogeys the first hole, makes the turn in two over. He's three over by the time he steps on 12T. How would you assess Jordan Spieth's Sunday? And then we'll talk about how you would assess Jordan Spieth's week.
So I read this Sports Illustrated article several years ago, like 15 years ago, about Brett Favre. That's not where people thought I was going, but
that is like the last thing I saw coming. Okay.
It's about Brett Favre. And he talked about how he loved getting hit, getting sacked on Sundays because it reminded him that he was alive, that all of this stuff was reality, that all of this was happening. And that's what I felt like when Spieth hooked it in the water on 15 and 17. I felt just alive because I was getting waylaid by these tee shots on 15. And so it had been.
I can't do the show anymore.
It had been far too long since the dream of a Jordan Spieth win had been dashed by water on the back nine of a tournament. And there we are. I mean, look, like the bottom line here, and I didn't see everything on what you and Mark talked about on Saturday, Rick. It is so hard to win a golf tournament when you're 64th in the field in driving. And that wasn't only true on Sunday. It was true throughout the week. And his iron play for the first, well, two of the first 3 days, or I can't remember Thursday, but he was number one in the field by a wide margin. His iron play was awesome. And people talk about the 30 footers and that's fun. But the reason he's playing well and scoring is because of his iron play. And that's always been true. But his driver misses are just so bad right now that your iron play has to be like Tiger in 2000 to even be in it, you know? And so I just think it's sort of the natural, like, it's always going to trend toward what he did on Sunday unless you tighten up the driver.
Yeah, I think I want to mine into that a little bit. So, Greg, so 66 golfers made the cut. Of those 66 golfers, Jordan Spieth finished 64th in strokes gained off the tee, and he was second to last on Sunday alone. He was 65th. Kyle is absolutely right. By a pretty large margin, he was the best player in the field in strokes gained approach. Now, that to me is at least something to be optimistic about. That's the one thing that keeps you going, but you cannot lose nearly a stroke around off the tee on the PGA Tour and expect to contend on a regular basis.
You know, I'm curious to know, Rick, if his poor driving actually benefits his strokes gain approach numbers. I'm not trying to take away from his iron play. I'm just, he's coming out of some circumstances where the scoring average from the trees, you know, 170 yards away will, that's where he's coming from. And he doesn't have to hit it quite as close to make a benefit. Do you think, does that have any effect on his strokes gain approach?
I was thinking about this, Greg, and I know you're asking Rick and I'm just jumping in, but
yeah, go for it.
Oh yeah.
So one, you got to hit the shots, but two, you're only able to hit the shots at a place like Phoenix, at a place like, if you're driving it like you did this week at Torrey, I mean, you don't even have the option to hit, to be able to gain strokes on approach because you're just playing, you're just dead, you know? And so it's almost like it doesn't take away, but it certainly limits, I think, the courses that you can compete on.
Yeah. And Greg, so while, I mean, in theory, it's not quote benefiting him to be so far, so bad off the tee because he's way worse than everybody off the tee. But now when he's in the position that he's in the rough, 30 yards right of the middle of the fairway, he's making better scores from that spot than everybody else's, which is, so it still, I believe, is a testament to the way he's striking the ball. But there are going to be courses, Kyle's absolutely right, where you're just kind of dead.
Right. Okay. So that makes sense. It's kind of what I thought as well, but that just, what it does for Jordan is it just puts so much pressure on the putter, and you see what happens on Sunday. He gets a little momentum, a couple of putts start to go and it's freeing. He doesn't feel like if he hits it into the trees, it means he's going to make a bad score. When you get to a day like today and it gets a little tight and you miss short putts, at some of these key moments. I mean, looking back at some of it, he at number seven, he misses a putt inside of 4 feet, right? 3 feet, 6 inches. He misses a great look on nine from inside of 10 feet. It you just get this feeling that they're not going in. And now all of a sudden you feel like you lose your ability to recover. And it puts a lot of stress on it. It really stresses your driving game. It stresses your iron play. It stresses everything. So I think that is a function of the poor driving. And I really do think he needs to get that figured out. But I will say this too. This may be there's a light at the end of the tunnel, because for the most part, except for the tee shot on number one, he didn't really miss big right as much this week. He may have on occasion, but most of his misses were left, which is a little bit more one-sided than it has been. And the shot for the past 3 years that has concerned me is a shot way to the right. So maybe this is actually a stepping stone this time and not like another, what we had at Colonial at the Charles Schwab Challenge, where it's just a course that he likes and he made a couple of putts and got lucky and comes close, but nothing's changed. I think something may actually have changed here.
Okay.
I love that. I love that hooking it in the water on 15 and 17 is a stepping stone. I don't disagree with you, but like, it's just, I think it shows like where we've been with Spieth over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. You know, absolutely. Well,
and I think what Greg brings up is a perfect segue, Kyle. I mean, you know, Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka, two of the guys that we have labeled as huge question marks heading into 2021. Well, Brooks just said, "Hi, I'm still here. Don't worry about me. I'm just fine." Spieth, I believe he should take the takeaway this week as a huge positive step in his progress. I don't know how he views this. Athletes are kind of weird like that. If they don't win, it's kind of weird. How do you think, is this an outlier? Did we just get a guy who had a really great iron week and he rolled in enough putts for 3 days to make golf Twitter go crazy? Or is to Greg's point, the one way miss, the left miss, is this a stepping stone to a better version of Jordan Spieth in 2021?
Well, it has felt over the last 2 or 3 years like it was always something else. It was always, okay, well, you figured out the iron play, I can't putt. Figured out approach play, I can't chip, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And right now I go back to the iron play because I went back and pulled his stats from 2014 to 18. I think it was the number January 1, 14 to January 1 of 18, which is kind of his like all 11 of his wins. Well, excluding the John Deere, which was in 13. But most of his wins, all the majors, he was the 11th best iron player in the world. He was 11th in the world for that, not just for a year, but for like that whole period of time with his irons. And that's how you, man, that's how you, as you guys know, like that's how you win. And you don't have to be DJ off the tee. It helps. I mean, it's certainly helpful, but he never was. I mean, his driving has never been elite. It's been above average at times and pretty good at times, but it feels like if that's the only thing that he needs to straighten out, and easy for me to say, but if that's it, then it does feel like you're moving in the right direction. I don't know if that's the case. He might show up at Pebble next week and just, you know, lose 3 strokes every round with his putter. I don't know. I think it takes more than 4 rounds to figure out if you have a trajectory. But if it's just the driver, I do think you're sort of moving in the right direction. And the whole thing is fascinating, right? Because we're watching it play out in real time. We're watching an all-time great just grapple with himself and this stupid sport. It's probably torturous for him at times, but as a fan, as somebody who covers this, it's fascinating to watch it play out.
I certainly had the warm and fuzzies this week from Jordan Spieth, which I have not had in quite some time. We're going to have a lot more conversation about Jordan Spieth. He is headed back to a place that has been friendly to him next week. We're going to talk about that. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any US orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com. Okay. It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now. And we're back. Quick odds and ends here, gentlemen. We'll get you out of here so you can watch the Super Bowl. There's a little coin toss action going on right now. Dustin Johnson goes to the Middle East, Greg, and he does it again. He's now won in Saudi Arabia twice. He's finished second in his other trip over there. While Brooks is reasserting himself as an alpha dog here in the States, Dustin is reminding everyone he is still very much the number one player in the world.
Yes. And, you know, this is my thoughts coming into this year is we don't know where DJ is with his game. We don't know what happened because he won a Masters at the end of not just the last major of a year, but at the end of the season. There wasn't really anything else he could play in. So he has all this off time now to do whatever he wants to celebrate and he can be satisfied. And the question is, for instance, if you win a U.S. Open and you have an Open Championship in a couple of months and a FedEx Cup a couple months after that, it's easy to stay hungry. There's a lot more to play for. But in November, all of a sudden, that goes away. And so I didn't really know what we were going to get out of DJ. And he kind of proves that, he's still hungry and he's going to be a factor for the rest of this year.
Very quietly, one of the other big dogs, KP, had himself a Sunday. And I'll admit this, I did not notice Rory McIlroy shot a 7-under 64 until about 5 minutes ago as I was prepping for this. He did. Comes in 31. He's still obviously trying to figure it out. It's just put it on repeat. Rory McIlroy has failed to put four rounds together. We have seen glimpses, two rounds, three rounds at a time of him being great, of him being phenomenal. He needs four rounds. That's what gets him into the winner's circle. We have not seen it now since 2019.
Yeah, that's almost word for word what I wrote in my recap. And I think that, you know, if you're looking at, yeah, you should have written it. if you're looking for positive takeaways, I think it's that his iron play improved every day. It was pretty mediocre, especially for him on day one, better day two, better day three. And then he might've been top five on
he was in the 10th.
Okay. 10th in the final round. And you know, that for me is the part where the driver is always going to be there. His putting, it's not going to be terrible. It's not usually going to be elite, but where's your iron play at? That for me is the tell for him of like, is he feeling it? And you're right. Like he just always has these it started early on Thursday. He's double the first hole, then bogey the next. And you're like, okay, well maybe this is it turned out to be the round that was kind of the, you know, his bad round for the week, but it cost you the tournament and he can't seem to put four of them together at the same time. But the positive takeaway is the strong iron or the improved iron play every day.
Yeah. If he's going to be, so he finished the week 26th in strokes gained approach. He'd probably win a lot of golf tournaments if he was 26th with his irons every single week, because the driver's so good. He'll find enough putts to make that he'll be just fine. So definitely good signs for Rory over the course of the last four rounds. Greg, we talked about this at the top. Some of these guys just crumbled. I mean, James Hahn got to 19 under. James Hahn got to 19, which ended up being the winning score, found himself a leaderboard, looked at it and said, oh boy, I'm in big trouble.
I saw you on Twitter. What was the gambling thing?
I was going to break our friends over at Will Hill if James Hahn won this. So thanks to Will Hill, and I live in Nevada, I have the mobile app now. So they list, over the course of Sunday, they list the live bets and they list out the top like 20 guys. And then they have a number for the rest of the field. Anybody else who's not listed. They forgot James Hahn. They forgot to list James Hahn. And I looked at it and I saw he's two shots back and the field number was 125 to 1. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Am I missing something? Is James Hahn like what's happening here? I go look around. He's 14 to 1 in other places. I see him at 125 to 1. So I start making small bets. I'm like, okay, let me throw a little bit more on this, a little bit more on this, a little bit more on this. I ended up only putting about $80 on it to win whatever that would have been, like 11 grand. But I'm like, this is wrong. And then they finally figured it out. They finally figured it out. So then the field number, it came down to 10 to 1. It came down to 5 to 1. It was a favorite for a short time. And then I think he got to 11, and that's where he made his first of four bogeys in his last eight holes to have me weeping and cough this tournament. I mean, great finish. He finished 10th, but not what I was looking for.
So you probably helped our friends. That's why they're friends over.
That's why they're friends.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, relationship.
Actually, yeah, they should like, hey, kick that back to me. Those are our friends. I was helping out. I made you aware of this terrible number that you have laying out there.
Yeah, you should get into sales. But for James Hahn, I mean, it's just a couple of tee shots that really end it for him. The one on 11, you can kind of understand because there's the water left, but all of a sudden the nerves start to jump up, and now there's water on the left. It's a tough tee shot. He has to pitch out, lay up, makes bogey there, and then on 13 hits it in the. You just on a par five, you can't hit it in a penalty area. That's just the one thing you can make a birdie. There are so many ways to make a birdie if you don't hit it in a penalty area. You can't do that. You can't make that mistake. So to me, that was the fatal flaw. Then you see the really squirrely one after the drop from that penalty area where the ball is well below his feet. He hits it. I mean, he basically it may have hit the hill in front of him.
I was going to say it was not great. Yeah.
It gets messy. But when you start to hit shots like that and you're nervous and you're shaking and your hands are sweating, you feel like you're a completely different person. So James Hahn lost James Hahn and probably stopped telling himself that he's the best golfer in the world. And
got the best what? The best what?
get the this is a, fun this is a family show.
It was honestly kind of tough to watch because you know, he's thinking about it. And it's just like every shot was, I mean, it looked like me out there, honestly, like me, not like if I was as good as James Hahn, but like me currently, like there was some shots down the stretch that were just, it was rough.
It certainly was. Looking ahead to next week, gentlemen, I use this word a lot, another iconic staple on the PGA Tour. We head to Pebble Beach. We continue the California swing. It's a bit of a top-heavy field. Dustin Johnson coming back from Saudi Arabia. He has been phenomenal here. Jordan Spieth also has a great record. We're going to see Patrick Cantlay again. Daniel Berger, Will Zalatoris, Paul Casey, who's coming off a victory 2 weeks ago in Europe. KP, always a fun one. And this one, even though we've had a couple of guys who have unbelievable records at Pebble Beach, we've got like a Ted Potter Jr. win. Like the shorter guys can kind of compete here. It's a fun one.
Remember when Ted Potter took down DJ?
Yeah. Mano y mano.
It wasn't like 09 DJ either. It was like 2000.
Peak DJ.
Yeah. Major champion DJ.
Yeah. DJ is obviously I got up early and watched Saudi this morning, and his superpower is that he never changes. And we sometimes frame that in a bad way with like somebody like a Fowler, who it's like you can't figure out the rhythm of the tournament. I think he understands, like he's very smart about that stuff. And he didn't putt at all. I don't know how much you guys saw. He lost strokes in like badly in three of his four rounds and just kind of rolled. I mean, it was terrifying. It was a really good field too. And he just was, it was crazy. I think him and Spieth are obviously the two huge storylines. I mean, for Spieth, can you back it up? You know, he's had a handful of top tens in the last 3 years. But can you replicate not even the top 10, but are you just still hitting it good? Are you good from are you good with your irons? You know, stuff like that. I don't care if he wins. I just want to see like some sort of trajectory there. So I think it's going to be great without, you know, without the pro-am, no offense to the amateurs, but it's just going to be fun to watch the pros take on Pebble.
I actually think there's so much more pressure on Jordan Spieth next week because now we're like, oh, he's back, right? Like, can you follow it up? Now he is a storyline again.
Do you think he is back? Like, is that your opinion?
back to what? Is he back to 2015? No. And we
is
might not ever
win
see anybody
three majors
get to that.
This year.
Right. Like we might never see anybody get to 2015 Jordan Spieth. I mean, what he did is like the best season post Tiger Woods, right? I mean, so no, I don't think he's back at that, but like, should he contend 5 times a year? Yeah, he should. And if he wins once, maybe he wins 0 times, but he needs to contend 5 times a year.
I think so. I was looking at this too. I missed okay. The Spieth stuff on Saturday. His numbers, if you look at again 14 to 18, that sort of range, they are almost like literally identical to Patrick Reed. So his putting numbers, his around the green numbers, literally like to the decimal, they're almost identical. Off the tee, almost identical. The place where he excelled was the iron play, again, like I've been talking about. So I say all that to say, I think like, and this sounds crazy, like if you would have told me 3 years ago I'd be saying this, I would have been like, you're an idiot. But I think he can be Patrick Reed, right? Where it's not like you're going to win 5 times a year. I don't think that's probably who he's going to be, but I think you can win once or twice a year and contend, you know, a handful of times. I think that's a pretty good like comp for who post 27-year-old Jordan Spieth is going to be. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I don't think that's crazy at all, right? I mean, I think if he's hot with the putter, he can contend. And it's just the same with Patrick Reed. If the putts are going in, then he contends. Those two guys make really long putts often, far too often. The numbers just say the probabilities are against. They got some sort of extra willpower. They're using the force sometimes, and when they can tap into it, they can compete with anybody because that's the hardest guy to beat. But you can't do that regularly, so that's why they're not going to. What Spieth did in 15, 16, 17 was ridiculous, and I think we're learning that that's the anomaly.
And I think the caveat to that, KP, is that there are going to be weeks he just can't contend. Like if it's very penal for missing the fairway, it's not a Jordan Spieth week.
Yeah, and it's kind of Mickelson-ish in that way, you know, like. Mm-hmm.
How does he finish third at Bethpage Black? Like, do you consider Bethpage Black not penal? Are you talking penalty areas, Rick?
Dude, that was crazy. I was there.
I think followed, that's a different version. That's a different version of.
Yeah. I followed Koepka and Spieth on that Saturday when they're in the final pairing. I've said this before. Spieth looked like he wasn't playing the pro-am, but not on the pro side. I mean, it was like, find the club face, bro. Like, it was unbelievable how, and it speaks to like, you know, just Spieth should try to be Webb, like just get it just somewhere in the vicinity. I mean, he was, Brandel brought this up. He was like second to last or last in the field in distance from the edge of the fairway. So when you miss the fairway, how far are you missing? And he was like, he was missing by like 55 feet or something. It's like, just bunt it out there and then let everything else take over. Easy for me to say.
You want to know what else he did, Greg? He gained 10.6 strokes putting, his best putting week in the last 6 years. Certainly a long way. Gentlemen, we're going to spend a lot more time talking about Jordan Spieth. We're going to spend a lot more time talking about Brooks Koepka. We're going to spend a lot more time talking golf. Take a break. Go watch the Super Bowl. 2 punts. You haven't missed a darn thing. So thanks for joining us. That's Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD. That's Kyle Porter, who you can find at Kyle Porter CBS. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.